You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
In the know, non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Vikings Vent Line. What's going on, everyone? Executive producer Declan Goff here from the Mackey and Judd and Purple Daily programs. Here to take you through another edition of off-season Vikings Vent Line. Of course, we rock this show every Sunday in the off-season, every Sunday to talk Vikings fans about the off-season, about the draft, about free agency. Plenty of great things to talk about throughout the season. During the regular season, of course, Mackey, Judd, myself, we bring on Vikings fans. We talk about the game. So I'm excited to talk to as many Vikings fans as I possibly can throughout this offseason. If you want to get in on a future episode of Vikings Vent Line, it's VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. Shoot me an email to that address, VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. If you'd like to get in on a future episode of Vikings Vent Line, I'm going to talk to my guys, Jesse and Asa, here in just a little bit, talk about some offseason stuff, talk about some draft stuff. Excited to get their opinions on what the Vikings have done so far. Of course, we're powered by our friends at TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. It's March Madness season. Okay, the draft's in like a month. Why don't you upgrade that television with the TCL TV? Some of the best televisions out there. And of course, our friends at Dennis Kirk. Motorcycle, parts, accessories, clothing, plenty of great options as we get closer and closer to riding season out there. Whether you're in the Midwest or whether you're lucky enough to be in the West Coast or in a warmer weather state, you want to get some nice accessories for your ride, go to Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. Tell them Purple Daily and Score North sent you. All right, again, VikingsVentLine, gmail.com for a future episode. In the meantime, I got two great Vikings guests lined up here. I got Jesse, I got Asa, I got two guys who are somewhat new to Vikings Ventline. Jesse said he just discovered Purple Daily and just the incredible world of podcasting that is recently. So Jesse, thank you for coming on. Where are you calling from specifically?
I'm from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. So about an hour and 15 minutes east of you guys are the cities. One of us brave Wisconsin Viking fans.
Yeah, good for you, man. You're fighting the good fight over there across the enemy lines. So good.
Oh, it's brutal.
I bet you're, yeah, you're not like super deep in Packers territory, but you're deep enough, right? Where?
Oh, it's 98-99% Packer fan over here.
Yuck. That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. Asa, how about you, man? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Orlando, Florida. So a lot warmer over here.
Yeah. Nice. Yes, that is. That's great. It's warming up here in the Twin Cities. Obviously, Jesse, you're close enough. You're probably in the same basically weather pattern as me here in Minneapolis. The sunshine's nice. A little bit of rain might help. Whatever can wash away this damn snow and ice. I know I mentioned our friends at Dennis Kirk. I'm trying to get out and golf. So, Asa, I don't know if you're a golfer, but I'm envious of you if you're out there swinging some clubs in beautiful, sunny Florida, because that's all I want to do right now. I'm just dying to get out on a golf course, man.
Yep. Sometimes the pendulum swings the other way. I enjoy the cold, but yeah.
I don't blame you. Fellas, let's talk about some offseason stuff here. So we're about a couple weeks in at this point now to the tampering and free agency period. So the Vikings have made some signings. They've said goodbye to some veteran players as well. I'm curious your thoughts. What has been your favorite move so far of the young offseason? There's plenty of more stuff to obviously come to, but you know the first wave has now kind of come and gone. Now we're into wave two or three. Jesse, I'll start with you. What has been your favorite thing of the Vikings offseason thus far?
Mine kind of comes with an asterisk. So I love the Madison signing. Okay. If he's our primary back. I've been a Cook fan ever since he's been with us, but it's time to move on. And I want to get to a point where our running backs are making not premier dollars and we're just kind of cycling through guys. And Madison, you know, he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear. What, he's got like 400 plus career carries. In kind of prep for this, and I was looking through his stats, and he's got 10 games where he's got 11 or more carries in his career. In those 10 games, he's got 192 carries, 860 yards, and 4.8 yards per carry. So people always talk about Madison not being a big yards per carry guy, but when he's been used as the bell cow, he's been able to get almost 5 yards per carry. So with him and Ty Chandler, I think it's going to be a good change of pace and a good mix up and a cheaper, which is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, Madison, when called upon, obviously Cook played, I think, in every game last season. But when called upon, when he had to be the full-on starter, he was always productive. He rushed for over 100 yards. Asa, I know you have some beef to pick with him from that Seahawks game from a few years back when he missed that open hole. But he's a productive back, right? Like, is he going to be someone that's like a game-changing back like Dalvin, you know, a few years ago, or AP? No. But he's a serviceable guy that you can hand the rock off to, you know, 20 times a game. He can catch some passes out of the backfield to a degree. He's just a serviceable back, and you're only paying him a couple million bucks. That's kind of where running backs are being paid now. They're not. They're basically running through a rookie contract, or they're very reasonable deals. You know, Dalvin Cooks of the world, they're kind of getting the last of this contract paydays, and it's interesting to see where teams want what they want to do with running backs going forward. It's a tough market to project, because after that first wave of a contract, you know, they just hit a wall and their production completely declines. So I like it. Alexander Mattison. Okay.
And Judd likes to talk about, he wants a guy that'll just be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And in 21, he had 32 catches, which proves that he can be that guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And he's a thumper. So I've always been on the Mattison fan wagon, and I'll keep riding it, especially if he's number one.
Absolutely. Asa, how about you, man?
Yeah, and to add to Jesse's point as well, I think there's a reason why he gets picked in like the sixth or seventh round of fantasy every year, because they know whenever Dalvin goes down, he's their bell cow, and he's actually pretty productive as a running back. So for me personally, my favorite move of free agency so far has been the signing of Marcus Davenport. He's a big buy low, high ceiling guy, and he honestly has a high floor as well. It's a one-year deal, so if things don't work out, it's just 1 year. Additionally, injuries and low sack total have caused him to have a big price drop. I mean, getting such a productive pass rusher for only $13 million a year is pretty impressive. So I'm going to give you three names.
Okay.
Danielle Hunter, Von Miller, and Max Crosby. Davenport finished the year last season with a pass rush rate of 18.8%, which is more than those three edge rushers. So just getting that guy for $6 million of a cap hit this year, I think, is a great move by Kwesi.
Yeah, dude, Marcus Davenport's an interesting guy because, to your point, he didn't get home a lot, like as in he didn't register a lot of sacks, but he was in dudes' faces. He was generating pressure, which is all you really can ask for from a defensive end. You're trying to make sure that they're at least getting through those offensive tackles and guards and trying to make hell on the life of an opposing quarterback. Davenport's done that, to your point. I mean, those are three guys that you just listed are some of the best at what they've done over the NFL in the last few years. And if Davenport's kind of this secret weapon, right, kind of like Za'Darius Smith of last year, at least in the first half, where everyone was kind of sleeping on him, like, oh, you know, has he passed the hill a little bit? He's coming off a major injury. And for the first half of the season last year, Za'Darius Smith was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Now he had some injuries, unfortunately, and derailed that second half. But I am curious how he pairs. And I don't know, and of course we're pre-recording this to a degree, but I don't know if Za'Darius Smith is sticking around. It certainly didn't seem like he was, judging by his tweets from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And just judging by his price tag, like they got a couple of conundrums on their hand in Za'Darius and Danielle. I'd be shocked if both of them are out of here. But Marcus Davenport, you know, is kind of this nice little insurance piece that, you know, buy low on him. And if he hits his ceiling, you might be able to pay him long term. You'll see what happens there. But I think you can always have a surplus of pass rushers, right? Like it's such a tough thing to find. And if you can find a surplus of them, you may as well go after it.
I think I read something too on Flores, and he would ran the 3-4 like 30% of the time, nickel 34% of the time, and like dime like 33% of the time. So thinking of Davenport, Hunter on the ends in the dime package with Asamoah as your linebacker, I just feel like they're going to be able to get after him, and then Asamoah is going to be able to cover some tight ends and some running backs out of the backfield. And I'm kind of looking forward to possibly seeing some four-man fronts with those two on each end.
Absolutely. And to add to your point, a low sack total to me is kind of like looking at just points per game in basketball. Like, while it can tell you something, it certainly doesn't tell the whole story. And whenever Davenport has shown that he can consistently like win pass rush reps, I think that that's a really valuable trait to have. And it comes at a much higher price tag than $13 million of a contract and only $6 million of cap hit for 2023.
And also, you know, to find like a good cross-sport analogy, it's kind of like, you know, when players in baseball overachieve with runners in scoring position, where they're just like, they're super clutch. Well, they're put in a position where there's runners on second and third, their pitcher's out of the stretch. He is being rewarded for a situation that was caused before him, and he's getting the credit, right? RBI is great. But what also led them to get that RBI? And it's not exactly all just a guy that's just hitting with runners in scoring position, and he's just always automatically clutch. Well, hold on here. There's a little bit more of a science to that. That's a good point. And I think Davenport's going to be someone that's awesome. And Brian Flores in general, what he wants to do with this defense. I mean, I was a little surprised he kept Jordan Hicks, but at the same time, if he sees something in him, like I trust Brian Flores that he knows what he's doing and wants to keep a guy around like Jordan Hicks over, you know, Mackie Judd and myself saying, oh yeah, just cut Jordan Hicks and move on. So
yep,
could be really curious to see, see what he does obviously with that defense. Taking a look on the offseason side. So obviously Lamar Jackson has kind of been the talk of the offseason for the last week and a half or so. He was signed to the, you know, the non-guaranteed, I'm blanking on the exact term here, tender where other teams can negotiate with him. But if you want him, the Ravens can either match it. And if you want him, you have to give up your two consecutive first round picks. So it's a big haul, not just price, but also acquisition to go and get him. Should the Vikings be in on this, or should they just be looking to pass, keep Kirk Cousins? Maybe you find a rookie quarterback in this year's draft. Jesse, I'll start with you. How do you kind of feel about the Vikings' pursuit of Lamar Jackson?
I think 2023 has got to be Kirk's year. I think financially it makes so much more sense. Get through this year and then kind of look at 24 as a new bag. I was just watching Pat McAfee yesterday, I think it was, and they had Reese Davis on, and Reese Davis was talking about how Williams and Drake May are generational talents. Like, these four quarterbacks that are at the top of this draft, they could be complete misses and there's no guarantees. And Reese come out and said that he thinks that those two guys, Williams and May, are for sure. So I would rather see us take our next year's first round pick and the year after first round pick and package and go after one of those two. And then I'm going to throw in another name that I think might be potentially available is Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's in his fourth year of his rookie deal. And if Chargers don't do anything, maybe they want to hit the reset button before his $30 million contract goes in on his fifth year. So maybe Herbert's someone where we could offer up a couple of picks down the road. I just feel a lot better with a guy like Herbert and running our offense than Lamar. I want a guy that's going to play all 17 games. And I think Herbert's played 15, 17, and 17 in his first 3 years. So I'd much rather have that or May or Williams.
Yeah, Justin Herbert thing. I mean, bravo, a little reckless speculation there. I love that. I love that idea. I think I might be like one of the few 1% people that I'm not completely all in on the Justin Herbert stock. To your point, if I had to pick between Lamar and Herbert, I will take Herbert. I will 100% take Herbert over that just because of the age, durability, a few other things. Yeah, I could see that. Probably what's likely to happen with the Chargers side, because yeah, that fifth-year option is about to be picked up, or was just picked up, or is going to be picked up, is by the time they get to year five, they'll probably, you know, have a contract extension for him that where the fifth year is lowered, and you know, you kick that salary cap can down the road to a degree. But the Chargers are interesting because their ownership never really seems to spend a lot of money. They're kind of, they basically wasted, right? I mean, they've wasted 3 years of Justin Herbert. I'm a huge Kellen Moore fan. I love him, and maybe he can unlock Herbert and help Chargers kind of get over that hump in a really loaded and tough division. But man, that, I love the piece of reckless speculation there. I mean, if
they, I had to throw something out for you guys.
Yes, dude, I love that. That is that's big. I'll run that one by Mackie and Judd too next week. Asa, how about you? How do you kind of feel about the Vikings' pursuit of Lamar? Just kind of even, you know, broader, their overarching look at the quarterback position beyond Kirk.
So I think that the pursuit of Lamar would be a good idea. And the reason I say that is because Lamar is such a rare talent. You do not run into guys that have the physical capabilities and just the ability to rise the tide of the team that Lamar has. Like, Lamar Jackson is the type of player that you win because of, and Cousins, in my opinion, is not, even though they'll be paid kind of a similar price. And so while two first-round picks is a lot, and while this whole situation would take kind of a perfect storm of events to occur, I do think if it like raises your chances of winning a Super Bowl, then I think the Vikings should go after something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a known commodity, right? Even though you're trading draft picks, like, would you rather trade those draft picks to move up in the draft for a not a sure thing, or would you rather trade the same amount of, you know, equity to get a sure thing in Lamar Jackson? Now he's going to cost a ton, and again, there's some questions about some durability there, but he's a former NFL MVP not too long ago, and I think that's what people get lost on. Yeah, he's not a like pocket passer, but he can extend plays, and we've seen him do things with his legs and just with his talent overall, his arm too, that most quarterbacks just cannot do. So yeah, I mean, I don't think the Vikings will end up pursuing him, but it's an interesting thing because I think he ends up back in Baltimore. But I mean, it's just been so, it's like an open relationship, right? Like, I mean, you're just going to go back to that person after like you were both dating other people or like seeing what was out there. It's a very strange situation for Lamar. Let me ask you guys this. So Will Levis keeps getting mocked to the Vikings in more drafts. I feel like his mock draft stock, if you will, has fallen. He's not like a consensus top 10 pick like he used to be. Jesse, I'll go with you. If Will Levis is there at 23, or maybe if the board is shrinking up by 20, should the Vikings move up to get him? What's kind of your take on Will Levis?
I'm not sold. I know he had his pro day today, and they were showing some highlights from it, and the dude's stacked. I mean, he looks the part, definitely. But I see too many things on films where it just doesn't look like he's all there. Like, and maybe KOC can do something with him, but I'd much rather get a weapon for the future at 23. I mean, there's so many good wide receivers that could be up at the top. I mean, you got Zay Flowers, you got Addison, hopefully my guy Johnson from TCU. Like, that's my home run. That's the guy I want at 23. I mean, but I would much rather see him do that and lock up a guy that pair next to Jefferson for the next 5 years.
Absolutely. Asa, how about you? Does Will Levis do anything for you?
I think if Will Levis is there at 23, the Vikings should take a shot on him, but I don't think they should be moving any sort of draft capital to get up for him, because while I do think a quarterback position is obviously valuable and having that rookie contract would be a big deal, Levis has too many red flags to me to be worth shipping all of that draft capital just for such a risky player. So I was listening to Eric Eager, and what he was talking about was Will Levis is one of the worst quarterbacks in college football at pressure to sack conversion rate, whereas players like Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and CJ Stroud are all great at eluding sacks. Levis, similar to Kirk Cousins, is not good at evading pressure. And in the modern NFL, where you need quarterbacks to have an athletic component and also, you know, the physical component of throwing the ball, whenever you're so lackluster in one of those components, it could be a big red flag and not worth the additional draft capital it would require to get up to Levis.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Yeah, I saw some combine highlights on Friday where he was obviously slinging the ball, and sometimes those, you know, those pro days are a little decisive. You know, they're just throwing, you know, 60-yard heaves throughout the field with no one in their face. He's definitely more of that true pocket statue quarterback, right? Yeah, he can't really be mobile. He's not going to extend plays with his legs to a degree like Richardson or Stroud or whatnot. But he might be someone that's worth sitting behind Kirk for a year and seeing what you got in there. Or if, let's say, God forbid, Kirk got injured in 2023, or maybe you're just, you know, you're clearly not going to make the playoffs. And we saw teams last year that said, all right, we're out of it by December. Let's turn things over to rookies and younger players to see what we got in them moving forward. Yeah, I would probably be on board with them taking him at 23. I don't know if he's worth trading up for. It's definitely not worth, at least as I see it now, I don't think it's worth trading next year's first to move up to get him. I really don't know if it's really worth trading a next year's first round pick to get any quarterback in this draft. Personally, that's just where I'm at. But if he's there at 23, I mean, absolutely. Just looking at the draft too. So Jesse, I know you kind of said Quentin Johnson would be, you know, a home run, or trying to find a wide receiver to pair with Justin Jefferson. You know, is there another kind of plan you want to see the Vikings attack here at the draft? Is there positions you want to see them get after? What do you kind of want to see Kwesi do at the draft this year?
Man, at 23, I said Quentin Johnson. I don't think he's going to be there. I mean, that's ideal pairing, a guy that's 6'3" that can run like that. I mean, he looks like DK Metcalf. I mean, that to me is a home run wide receiver hire, especially pairing next to a smaller receiver like Jefferson. I think the thing that kind of scares me about like Zay Flowers is he's only 5'9". I know he's got great footwork and great speed, but I want a big target. I like having a big 6'3", 6'4" type receiver. So if Johnson's there, I think it's an automatic. If he's not there and maybe Addison is gone, I like Breece from Clemson. I think we have Harrison Phillips on the D-line. I don't feel good about Lowry or Blaylock or Tonga or any of the other guys on the D-line right now. So if Breece is there, I mean, he's 300 pounds. He's athletic. He's mobile. I think he could play nose or play the 3-4 D end. I think he's the kind of guy that could be a centerpiece for our defense going forward with Asamoah.
defensive line is certainly not like the sexiest of things. It's not a not a skill position group, but you need it. Like Dalvin Tom, that's a loss. Like losing Dalvin Tomlinson's a loss, and especially when there's no one really behind him. I mean, Harrison Phillips is a nice nose tackle, but yeah, can Tonga or play like are those guys going to step up and fill that void that Tomlinson left? No. So if you found someone at 23 or you found someone early enough in the draft that you could be a plug-in day one starter, or maybe there's someone here in wave two of free agency that they could bring in, you know, to kind of help bridge that gap to a degree that you lost Dalvin Tomlinson to a big payday. I mean, I could see them as much as it wouldn't be as fun as a wide receiver or quarterback in the first round defensive tackle does make some sense because it's a big position of need for them. Asa, how about you? What do you want to see the Vikings do at the draft this year?
Yeah, to add to Jesse's point, I think this year's free agency has shown us that defensive tackles who can rush the passer are really valuable in this league now, with guys like Dalvin Tomlinson getting big contracts, with Dexter Lawrence last year getting big contracts. Like players like this are very valuable on a team, and teams don't want to let them go or they want to acquire them from other teams. So in my opinion, interior pressure would be a great thing for the Vikings to pursue. This name has come up a lot, but Kalijah Kanti looks great. Maybe even Jalen Carter if he falls due to his pro day. I don't think he will, but if he does, that would be potentially a thing for the Vikings to look into. Additionally, cornerback is still a need, in my opinion. While I do love the Byron Murphy signing, I still think with Andrew Booth Jr. and a Caleb Evans, who are both really young players, it would be great to get kind of a blue chip prospect like Devin Witherspoon, Christian Gonzalez, one of those top corners in the first round. And if none of those guys are there, it might sound boring, but I think trading back could be a potentially good move as well. Kwesi last year did not pick a single pick in his draft where we were there already. And so expect Kwesi to keep dealing, to go back, to go up, to do whatever he can to get whatever he sees value in. And so trading back, getting a cornerback, potentially a receiver, and then obviously future quarterback are all big three, like three things that I think the Vikings would benefit from.
Yeah, I know Vikings fans are just like so sick of drafting another corner because they've taken like five. Yeah.
I was going to say realistic Randy doesn't like this guy's pick next. Oh, this no. way.
I know. I talk to him every Monday and he says the same thing anytime I mock him a cornerback and he's like, nope, get out of here with that trash. Yeah, it is a gamble for them though to like say, hey, Andrew Booth, Caleb Evans, Lewis Cine, I know he's safety, but all these young defensive back safety types they have. And, you know, they're banking on Byron Murphy Jr. basically being like their number one guy as it stands right now. At least he has the most experience. That's a risky bet to take, especially in the pass happy NFL where teams are just throwing all over down the field at a race we haven't seen before. And can you trust first or second year players to kind of step up and be better than they were last year? It's a big proposition. So like, can you find, to Ace's point, can you find like a blue chip cornerback that's available that you just can't pass up on? How that board shakes out is going to be interesting because I do see a trade back situation. If maybe, you know, the Quentin Johnson and Zay Flowers, they come off the board, there's no quarterback on the board, you're reaching for a defensive tackle at 23 and maybe you're better off taking one at 27, 28, et cetera. I could see that happening 100%. So it's going to be a really interesting next month here at the draft, what they end up doing. It's going to be great, man. I mean, the only thing I didn't like was I had to wait like 4.5 hours for the Vikings to make an actual selection last year in the first round. The draft is already so damn long. When you're at 23, that's already like a guaranteed, okay, it's going to be like 3 hours before the Vikings probably make their first round selection. So just selfishly, as we're all watching the draft, like, please, if you're going to trade back, let us know early so we don't have to like just watch all this nonstop draft coverage of what are they going to do? And then they trade that pick, which Kwesi did obviously last year too.
I also think that going along with his point as well about if we trade back, there's some positions and there's some guys that I think could fill some great holes for us in that 40 to 50 range. Obviously, I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm a little biased, but Keanu Benton is a beast on the D-line. The original mocks had him going like 70, 75. He's all the way up to like 50, 55. Dude, if we could somehow figure out a way to get a pick around there or Mazi Smith from Michigan, as much as I hate Michigan, either one of those two guys would be a cheaper version of one of those top picks where we can still get a wide receiver up there, but I don't know how they're going to get it, but I'd love to see them get a second round pick.
I think they will. I think that's probably comes from that trade back situation. You know, Kwesi likes to have as much kind of shots at the pie here as he wants in the draft. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they got a late second or they traded back from that 23 spot, like we were just talking about, maybe they get a second round pick. Yeah. I would love to see that happen.
I also feel like there's not as much depth in that second, third round range this year as years past, but that fourth, fifth, and sixth round, there's a lot of good players.
Yeah.
There's this big nose tackle from Coastal Carolina, Gerard Clark. We talk about, is Tonga not the nose? Maybe a guy like him or Kobe Turner out of Wake Forest. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are probably going to be like late fourth, fifth round that could eventually be a starter for us. And it's like, I'd love to see us get 8-9 picks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know people like love the Trader Rick name, where Rick obviously commuted like 4 to 5 7th round picks all the time. But I mean, having a much, you know, shots in the draft is a good thing for the Vikes. And yeah, I mean, they don't really, it's unprecedented for a Vikings franchise. And I know it's only year 2 of Quase. You'd only have like 5 draft picks. They've always usually had a ton of at least day 3 picks. And they usually always have always kept, you know, their first few round picks here. So I'm curious too, dude. It's going to be a crazy next month. And you can break it down right here on Purple Daily and Vikings Vent Line as well. Excited to talk to Vikings fans, what you want to see them do. Boys, before we wrap up, any last takes, any last shout outs you want to give here on Vikings Vent Line? Asa, I'll start with you.
So if you like written work, I do write for the NFC North Report. So just look for articles from Asa Arnold. In the past, I did a more in-depth article on Marcus Davenport and the value behind that contract. Additionally, did a few articles on Kirk Cousins, because you have to if you're a Vikings fan, and some draft coverage, everything like that. So if you're into written work, NFCNorthReport.com.
Awesome, man. Love it. Go check out his work. Jesse, how about you, man? Last take?
I'm going to give a shout out. Again, being over here in Wisconsin, I want to first shout out all the Viking fans in Wisconsin. I know there's a few of us, but in my family especially, I have my 2 girls. One's 14 and one's 10. They're both Viking fans, and we're the only 3 Viking fans in our entire family. I'm actually in my 14-year-old's room, and you can see there's a nice Jefferson hitting the gritty in the background. But yeah, my 14-year-old's my stepdaughter, and both her biological dad and her biological mom are Packer fans, and I'm the Viking fan. So she followed her stepdad's rule and came with me to the Viking side. And maybe I'm inflicting more pain in her life for going forward, but she's awesome. And so is my youngest, my 10-year-old. They both got their Jefferson and their Cousins and soon to be hopefully Hockenson jerseys.
Look at you, dad of the year over here, converting Packer fans into Vikings fans, or keeping absolutely them being Packer fans. Doing the Lord's work, Jesse. Good job, man. Appreciate that. Fellas, thank you so much for coming on Vikings Vent Line. Let's get you guys on again a future episode, get you on during the season, obviously. Appreciate you guys coming on Vikings Vent Line. For any fans that want to come on a future episode, again, VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. If you want to join a future episode, I'd love to talk to as many Vikings fans as I possibly can. We record these and launch every Sunday on the Purple Daily YouTube channel and on the podcast feeds as well. Full strength on Monday. We got Realistic Randy also back on Monday as well with Mackie, Judd, and myself. Hit that subscribe button for Daily Vikings Entertainment, where we want to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl before we die.